Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. I'm your host Preeti Kulkarni, and in today's episode of Simply Save, we'll talk about the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India's product regulations. Now, while the insurance regulator's surrender charges provisions for endowment policies have been discussed at length, the changes in health insurance regulations, which also came into effect from April 1st, have not received as much attention. So, for one, the mandated maximum waiting period for pre-existing conditions or illnesses has been shortened from 4 years to 3 years. Likewise, insurers will now not be able to reject your claims citing non-disclosure of pre-existing illnesses, except of course in cases of proven fraud, after 60 months of continuous coverage. That is, if you have paid at least 5 annual premiums, your claim cannot be rejected on the grounds of suppression of health status or misrepresentation unless the insurer is able to prove that this was a fraud. To discuss these key changes among several others, we have with us today Dr. Bhabatosh Mishra, Director, Claims, Underwriting and Product with Niva Bupa Health Insurance Company. So, welcome to the show, Mr. Mishra. It's great to have you on Simply Save for the first time.
Thank you so much, Preeti. Thank you for the invite and having me here.
Thank you. And we are speaking at a time when IRDAI has come out with detailed product regulations, including health insurance regulations. So, sir, if you could start with IRDAI's regulation. So, how will these affect insurers and what do these mean for policyholders? According to you, what are the key provisions that will affect policyholders?
That's a very good question, Preeti. In fact, we need to look at it in context of what has been happening proactively by the regulator over a period of time now. You would clearly notice that IRDAI has been consistently coming up with provisions, changes, guidelines in making things better for the consumer, whether it is through protection of policyholder interest, whether to enhance the speed of launch of new products, whether to bring in product innovation, whether to help penetration of health insurance in this country. And you'll see, you need to see it in a continuum of things that have been happening for a while. The current sort of regulatory changes that we have seen, some of the drafts are in place and some have come in, are going to continue the growth of health insurance by keeping customer at the center or the policyholder at the center. Some of them, and you mentioned, let's say, shorter waiting period for pre-existing, again a very pro-consumer benefit. It will come down from a maximum 4 years waiting period for pre-existing to 3 years maximum now, right? Similarly, entry age, now it has been opened up. While it is opened up, that means cohort or age cohort or a demography specific products can be created. That would make innovation in health insurance on a fast track. We understand the different age cohorts have different needs. You know, you can't treat the retirees or the senior citizens of the country same way as, let's say, a middle-aged or a very young student, right? And they have some unique needs of their own. This should allow for better innovation, because any product earlier, the entry age has to be at the age of 65 and not below, right? But now you can create multiple products for different age cohorts. So such things are going to get better products made available to consumers. Innovation would thrive and things would become simpler for consumers and wider choice will come in as well.
And so specifically about moratorium period, that has come down from 8 years to 5 years now, right?
That is right.
So does that mean that any claim will become incontestable on the grounds of lack of disclosure or wrong disclosures once the policy completes 5 years?
That is right. That is right. And a very big step, I would say, in terms of building consumer or the policyholder confidence on health insurance, right?
Right. And also with regard to shorter waiting periods,
Now, already a lot of companies even today offer shorter waiting periods of up to 2 years or 3 years, right? So this is more, IRDA has brought regulations or provisions in line with the existing market practices when it comes to waiting periods for pre-existing diseases.
I would say that it is more from a consumer centricity point of view. What has happened is, earlier the maximum allowed was 4, but different products had, some had possibly 2, some had 3, some had 4. Now products will not exist with 4 years. The maximum that will be allowed here on is 3 years waiting period. Right? So consumer gets a much more positive conception of health insurance that I don't have to wait for 4 years. Earlier, it was led to consumer to look for a product which is less than 4 years, should they want to have it, correct?
Right.
Now consumer has maximum 3 years, and I agree with you. Some consumers will look for products which are less than 3 years, which is again available in the market.
Right. And you spoke about entry age. Now, does that mean that a 65-year-old elderly individual, if she wants to buy a regular health insurance policy, could this mean going forward that she'll only have to opt for dedicated policies and not a regular policy? Do you foresee that happening as well?
Well, I don't foresee that happen, honestly. What I foresee is, while there are the policies that are available for, let's say, all age groups are still there available, but new, more innovative, custom-made products will be available to specific age cohorts. And not just a senior, but there could be a product tomorrow for who are young students who are yet to start working. There could be specific products for the middle-aged individual. Not to say that the current set of products will not exist. That's not the point. Point is, while they are available, more custom-made products, keeping in mind their specific needs, would be made available.
And those will also be ordinarily renewable lifelong. So even if I were to say buy this policy at a young age when I'm a student, even as I grow older, I'll be able to retain the policy, is it, or will I be migrated to another product?
As you rightly said, those will be renewable lifelong. Plus there will be choice of migration and other mechanisms will also be available. So imagine the situation actually puts a lot of rights, lot of choices in the hands of the customer.
Okay. Right. Any other provisions that you think are worth highlighting that will help policyholders? Anything in terms of definition of pre-existing illnesses? Anything at all?
Well, I think overall, we should not look any of these provisions in isolation. But comprehensively, there are many mechanisms which enhance consumer choice, which certainly protect consumer interests. Namely, the changes in portability migration guidelines, the shorter waiting period, the moratorium period, the relaxation or the opening up of the age, the free look period changes up to 30 days. So if you look at comprehensively all these provisions that are done recently, are very, very, very pro-consumer, I would say.
And apart from IRDA regulations now, a couple of months ago, some insurance companies had come forward and mooted this cohort-based pricing proposal. So what is the current status of this proposal? If you could share any update, and if you could share any details on how this is likely to work, if it were to fructify.
See, when we talk of cohort-based pricing, in some manner or the other, cohort-based pricing is the norm even today. For example, today, a 25-year-old 25 to 35 maybe pays a lower premium on the same product than a 36 to 45 year old. So there is a cohort based on age today, and there is a premium differential. The whole idea of cohort based pricing is something that is a normalcy even today. In some products, somebody living in let's say a metro city like Delhi or Mumbai possibly pays a little more premium than somebody who's living in a tier 3, tier 4 town or a city. That's also equivalent to a cohort-based pricing, theoretically speaking, generically speaking. I think specifically the idea is not about, you know, cohort-based pricing in the form of what is already being there, but trying to award customers benefit of lower cost, for example. Same example I will use. A 25 to 35 year olds have lower frequency of claim by virtue of them being young and possibly the hospitalization rates being lower for them as compared to, let's say, somebody who is in the age group of 46 to 55. That's the underlying reason why the premium for a young 25-year-old is a little lower than a 45-year-old, right? Same logic applies when we look at geography. The average cost of claim for the same treatment in a city like Delhi, Mumbai or a metropolitan city is going to be cheaper than a tier 2, tier 3 or tier 4 claim, inherent healthcare cost being lower. And some benefits of that are passed across to the consumer in terms of pricing mechanisms, right? The whole cohort-based pricing, the idea is that are there similarly other avenues to recognize differences and pass as premium benefit to consumers, like in terms of geography, like in terms of age. It could be health tomorrow. If you look at the current regulations, the regulators say that if somebody's health improves over the years after buying a policy, you may be able to give advantage to the consumer in terms of premium. To recognize effort in improvement of health, even that is a cohort-based pricing mechanism, right? Taking health as a cohort, as a differentiator, right? So the point is, cohort-based pricing is even available today. It is just that what are the parameters that can be used to pass certain benefits across to the consumer in terms of better premium.
And do the current regulations then, as you said, they do facilitate cohort-based pricing, do they, at the moment?
They do.
April 1st onwards. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And coming to health insurance premium hikes, given the rise in healthcare costs, and do you foresee any hikes in health insurance premiums this year?
I mean, generically speaking, every insurer try to achieve a certain period of premium stability in every product of theirs, right? So that consumers don't have to go through the hardship. But at the same time, medical inflation, like general inflation, is a reality. Healthcare costs are always rising. And most likely, usually true is medical inflation runs ahead of general inflation or higher than the general inflation. So health insurance products, like many other products, will go through a premium revision or a price revision cycle. So will any product be changed and the premium will be revised this year? The answer will be yes. Depends on, you know, which insurer, which product, based on their claim experiences. The important part to consider here is that the regulator, through earlier regulations, clarified that in every product, you must have a guideline which is ratified by your board. Through PMC, you should look at revising the premium of any product only when you have attained a certain claim ratio in that product and you think, in interest of maintaining sustainability, viability of the product, you need to revise the premium. Because when you do not maintain viability of the product, ultimately, consumers suffer because the insurer's ability to pay claims in time, etc., would get affected, right? And that is why it is also a mechanism to protect consumer interest eventually.
Right. But generally, so industry-wide, do you see any industry-wide premium hikes this year?
Well, that is a very difficult question for me to answer. As I said, it depends on the specific product of the specific company, what loss ratios are trending, etc. When was the last time they had revised that product? So all these factors come into effect before any premium of a product is revised.
All right. And finally, what are the trends that you foresee in terms of premiums, product benefits that insurance companies will come up with, and also claims on the claim side? What kind of trends do you foresee, and what kind of patterns have you been seeing, especially post-COVID?
Again, a very interesting question. Certainly, going by the way we have seen the industry over the last many years, the pace of innovation is further going to grow, and largely also facilitated by regulations, changes, guideline changes, directly, proactively being driven by the regulator, which is IRDAI in this case, right? Which have created a very conducive environment, whether you call it from a file and use to an use and file process, or the current set of regulations we discussed over the last few minutes. So the pace of innovation will grow, making newer, better, more consumer-centric products and choice be available to consumers, right? In terms of claims, initially post-COVID, we saw a lot of claims that were deferred. Some people were scared to go to hospital for planned treatment, like cataract, for example, or knee replacements. Those started coming in after COVID. Now, I think that phase is over. We are at a steady state.
Okay.
So, claims trends largely should revert to where it was before COVID, generically speaking. But the cost of claim, which is the medical inflation we are seeing, is continuing to rise. That certainly would be a concern, which every insurer, including regulator, possibly will keep an eye on. From a disease trend and pattern point of view, I am hoping, I am not an expert to comment in any way, but I am hoping that we see some level of stability. Of course, years through, we do notice, some years dengue is a much bigger problem than other years. Those seasonalities, that cyclicities will be there over the next 3 to 5 years. But by and large, a very, very destabilizing event like COVID being gone, we should expect some level of stability.
All right. Thanks a lot for your insights, Dr. Mishra. It was great to have you on our show. And I'm sure our listeners would have found your insights useful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Priti, as always. And thank you for having me here. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And with that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.